Everyone, and welcome to episode 359 of the 8-Bit Geek. If this is your first time listening, let me explain what this show is about, what it's like. It's a lot like telling your friend about a really cool documentary about Midway. And then that friend gets really excited about it and says, oh my god, that looks amazing. And then you ask him, hey man, so you watched the trailer? And then he's like, nah. Like, so how do you know it's amazing? And then he's like, well, I mean, how could it not be, right? I'll watch the trailer later. And then when you go to do a live show, and he goes, man, that insert coin documentary, whew, I can't wait. And then you say, oh, so you watched the trailer. And he goes, oh, no, I forgot again. I'm Jeremy, and with me are two men who didn't watch the trailer.
You know, that's right. It's Dougie Fresh. What's
yeah!
up?
Yeah! Whoop, whoop. I'm Kevin. Audio Jungle.
You can't audio jungle your own self.
Hey.
Hard times, man. Audio Jungle's buying everyone up.
Hey, Blake is interrupting the show to make a special announcement. He wants everyone to know he no longer has any data caps.
Oh. That is actually pretty dope, because he's been complaining about that for about 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And how he can't play games with anybody because he can't download a single game anymore. So yeah. Blakey, congratulations. First of all,
I have to imagine he's downloading them all now.
Second of all,
after this episode,
download
all the games,
everything. So that way you can't, and even buy games that haven't come out until next year and download those too.
Preload
them all, man. Get it.
Now we're waiting.
Yeah, we'll wait.
Yeah, we'll see you in Division 2 after the show.
Right. That's the fun part is, you know, within all of this, the bad parts of this coronavirus, is the good thing is these companies are actually lifting data caps that don't need to be there anyways. Mm-hmm. And so
proof they don't actually like need to exist. They're not actually doing anything except for charging people more money.
Yeah.
More money, exactly.
So I don't know, but if I was in Blakey's position, I would probably end up like, let's just say he's paying $70 right now for internet with his cap. I would 100% pay the extra $40 to have unlimited. Like, that's just me though. I couldn't have a cap. There's no way.
Yeah.
I'd hit the cap every month.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go over.
So first,
yeah, the amount of streaming and stuff, for sure.
Yeah,
exactly. And now that we're working from home, you know, remoting in and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to give them props for having the wherewithal to hold on to that and be consistent and check himself. But I couldn't do it. Could not. How does he even watch porn?
Blakey, how do you watch porn?
I assume he doesn't.
Right? Because obviously you're watching that in 4K. There's no way you would go below that. Blakey, let us know.
I don't need to see in 4K.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not every pore.
8K. All right. So if you're if you like what you're listening to, or if you're disturbed.
I don't.
Then go to the website. And subscribe. You can find all the information about the 8-Bit Geek at www.the8bitgeek.com. And a lot of cool stuff over there. We've got our other shows that we do. We've got 8-Bit Saga, which is, it's a pretty good show. It's a D&D podcast set in the Star Wars universe. So some people like it. Most people like it. Everybody likes it.
The people who don't like it haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah. I've never met a person who said, yeah, that's not for me. So, Lucy Stage Check says, Jer, what's the print on your shirt? It's roses. I don't know why I just snapped
finger gun. Yeah.
I don't know why I finger gunned it, but it felt natural. If you want to connect to other people on the show, you can hop on over to our Discord. We have a link on the website. It's a great, wonderful community that we have there. You can connect with other people, share your thoughts. We even just opened up an Animal Crossing. What are they called? Is it just called a channel? Yeah. Animal Crossing channel where you can chat and find other people who are playing the game. You can trade some shit, QR code it up, get some apples, turnip for what? I don't know.
I haven't done any of the QR code stuff yet. I don't even know how to do it.
It has a walkthrough of how to do it, so that way you can download stuff like Jedi robes and everything.
Yeah, how? Where?
It's a you got to get the app for your phone, I think.
Humbug. All right, so, get the app.
So much work.
Only because I love this game so much.
That's pretty fun.
We also have a link over to our Patreon, and you're like, oh my God, another podcast with a Patreon? Oh, what do they offer? Well, a lot. We give you a daily show, Monday through Friday, most of the time, just because today I forgot to post it. But it's going to be posted. You'll get double the episode, double the fun, double the pleasure tomorrow with the diner. And so you got that. And those, we tried to make them 15 minutes a piece, but they end up being like 20 to 50, somewhere in between there. So you get all that. You get extended episodes of this show. You get extended episodes of Saga. You get 8-Bit Brawl. And you get so much more. Whenever we think to post stuff, we put it there. So we want to thank everybody who is a patron. You know, your money goes a long ways to help this this community and fund a lot of great ideas. So we want to thank you for that. All the money that you do put into Patreon goes right back into the show for equipment and or prizes that we give away and stuff like that. So with that being said, I'm going to hand this over to Doug, who's going to read off the list of our wonderful patrons.
I sure am. Definitely not looking at Nintendo Switch Online on my phone right now. Doop doop doo. Hey, here we go. There's a lot of names. Here we go. Benny Babs, Brett, Brian, Brutal Moose, Carl, Chris, Crushed, Cutie, David, Doug's favorite Brit, Dr. Roxo, Dravenholt, Ed, Eric, Floor Salami. I have to say the whole name. I couldn't just stop at Floor. Hall, Jeremy,
shout out.
Jonathan, Josh, Joshy Boo, Kev makes me hard.
What?
Wish I would stop reading that. Followed by Kevin's son Carmen. Jesus.
Shout out.
Now it's just uncomfortable.
Yep.
Crassy, Kyle, Lauren, Lawrence, Leonard, Link, Lucy, mandatory username, Manuel, Mato, Nathan, not Chad, Pete, Rachel, Random, Robert, Ryan, Snorkel, Stevie, that is a classic, the Majestic Goose, totally not a spy, Travis, Tyler, Wheatley, and hold on, one more page, I gotta load, Wendris, who the fuck is Kenny, and Zaylin. By the way, Zaylin sent us a message asking where Saga was as far as the episodes like 44, 45, and 46 extended episodes. Those are coming. They'll be there eventually.
Promise.
Hopefully sometime this week.
Shout out.
So, shout out.
Shout out.
There you go. That's everyone. Yo, what's up?
Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Doug.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, Doug.
And thank you to everybody who supports us and continues to. It's been a wonderful, I don't know, how many years now? 7, 6, 5, 8, 10? We're coming up on the 20th anniversary of 8-Bit Geek.
Yeah.
Wow.
Impressive. We've been going since 2000.
With 359 episodes, we take 3 weeks off in between. So, all right, let's get into Amazon Adventures, brought to you by Amazon, not a sponsor. And this is a segment we've been doing for a little bit. It has replaced our... I'm kind of sad that it's always gone, but you know, we used to do what did we used to do?
Misconnections.
Yeah, misconnections. I miss misconnections sometimes. But this is just as good. Amazon Adventures. We read reviews that are pretty funny. sometimes you get some funny voices out of it. And Doug, what are you reading for us?
I think this is, I'm not really sure what this is for. Crackers?
No. Oh, whoa.
Yep. Pepperidge Farm crackers. I don't know which type. Here we go. This one's from Grant Meyer.
Thank you, Grant.
3 out of 5 stars.
Nice.
And he says, prepare for cracker chaos. This, by the way, is in all caps. Even if I don't read it that way, it is written that way.
Okay.
Ready your body for 15 pounds of pure unbridled power as you let your friend's eyes ablaze with tumultuous pandemonium and commit them to righteous bedlam. Indulge yourself in a logical fallacy of extremes, becoming delirious in a chaotic carnage of cheesy crackers as you lose yourself in Pepperidge Farm's labyrinth of agony.
Damn.
Will you follow Finn down the rabbit hole to a sodium-embellished abyss from which there is no return? Or will you champion through 15 pounds of punishment crackers to break Finn's accursed reign over the Cracker Kingdom and obtain omniscient cracker power? The choice is yours.
Are we about to start a Pepperidge Farms D&D?
Yeah,
that would be dope.
That sounds like the opening paragraph,
right?
Yeah. Okay, Wendy's has one. Some other company has one. And now Pepperidge Farm.
My God, oh, yeah, it's dude. The entire world is built out of crackers and cookies.
Oh my God. The final boss is Patrick Pepperidge.
Patrick's going down.
Yeah.
All right. Well, mine's going to be for a fire retardant suit. This is a 5-star review. It was an extra, extra large. Looks like it fits from the picture found. And it says
just the top hat, like the neck cut off.
Point was to have something enthusiasts could be cremated in, saved on funeral expenses. It worked. Slows down the burn rate. The subject does scream for a lot longer while burning when using the suit. Think of it as a slow roast.
Ooh.
7 people found this helpful.
Oh no.
Oh God. Oh, well, no. I'm reviewing binoculars, so you can only guess where that's going.
No, it's a good place, man.
But it is reviewed in the United Kingdom on April 25th, 2019.
Back in a simpler time.
In a simpler time, April 25th, 2019. Neighborly question, satisfyingly answered. For the last 6 months, my eyes have been tremendously sore, squinting furiously into the darkness through my bedroom window to determine whether or not my neighbor Deidre is doing her ironing in a skin-colored jumper or is in fact topless. Now I have my trusty Celestron 71009 Skymaster 1570 peeping goggles. I can happily confirm that she is not merely wearing a skin-colored jumper. Tripod is recommended with the product to enable free hands during usage.
Oh, no!
I'm not a pervert.
111 found, people.
111 perverts found this helpful. Peepers, if you will.
Oh, Amazon. What the fuck?
Exactly.
That should be the name of the segment. Oh, Amazon, what the fuck?
Yeah. The whole.
Oh, man. So I didn't include the IMDb because it would be really depressing. But I'm just going to take a peek at it just to see. Okay.
By the way, Ratty says, how did you get my review?
Well, you posted it on Amazon, bud.
I didn't want to say your name on there, but it does have the full name. So
Onward made...
Not a bad weekend.
Yeah, not a bad weekend. Made $10.6 million.
That's actually, yeah.
Does that count online sales? It was available on Friday.
I would say that counts. I would say that's just drive-in. I'd say the drive-in market and whatever was left over from them staying open, whatever, if there's independent theaters in counties and towns that haven't been gone into lockdown.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the theaters were still bumping. Bloodshot in its opening week made $9.2 million.
All right.
Yeah. Rachy, I did watch Onward, and it is fantastic. It's very cute. A lot of fun. All right, so we do have some news concerning the coronavirus. We're not going to get too much into the sad stuff, but we will say and give some PSAs of stuff that's happening around the world in the entertainment business, just to inform you. One being that Netflix is cutting its video bit rates in Europe due to social distancing demands, aka everyone's home and you're using the internet a lot. So instead of having the internet break over in the UK, their Netflix is going to comply with the European Union request and lower the streaming quality in an effort to ease the strain on the network of the continent.
That sucks. And right? How long is it going to be till it hits us?
I don't know. We have I would say that, I don't know. Like, do you think that we have better, like, overall more infrastructure to handle a bigger demand?
Well, I mean, we definitely, at least for Netflix, I mean, if you have a 4K TV, they have a premium fee where you have to pay a little bit more to get the 4K content in it. So I wonder if the UK, if they do that as well out there, and if they do, then they have to be giving them a refund or at least giving them a break on their price if they're going to be cutting it off. Yeah. I would assume. That's why I'm wondering how long until America gets that way too, because there's a lot of 4K content on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ratty says Disney Plus launched at midnight doing the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Again, I mean, I would say obviously our country is significantly bigger than the UK as mm-hmm. far as size. And I would have to imagine that, yeah, our internet infrastructure is probably a little better.
Because we probably have more server farms hanging around.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, we have way more space for shit like that to help process that. Mm-hmm. In fact, I mean, now granted, I mean, you know, working in tech and stuff, we've definitely seen a lot of stress on servers and stuff like Zoom. I mean, Zoom is a huge product that's used, you know, now like in every job and classroom in the United States, it seems. And we had just recently enabled 1080p video streaming for all users, and we had to turn it back off.
It was cluttering up the network too much.
It was too much of a strain on Zoom. Zoom was crashing for everybody because for example, today, first day back in classes, there were at one point up to 275 streams happening with multiple, you know, with users of the class, essentially. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think most had over three, but they were saying somewhere upwards of 70 to 100 people.
Wow.
Yikes. Yeah. Yikes.
So just think about that. I mean, like, yeah, we still have these issues with some of the stuff, but Netflix seems like one of those companies, especially here in America where it's based, right? That like
mm-hmm.
that they're probably fine here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think Netflix runs off of the Amazon network anyways. And so Amazon has just giant server farms. So.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So next up is a really sad story. I said we wouldn't get sad, but sorry. About 120,000 entertainment industry crew jobs have been lost due to the coronavirus.
Yep, all these productions and stuff shutting down. I mean, these people can't work because ain't nothing happening.
You kind of think about productions and, you know, your mind often just drifts towards, oh, well, director, actors and everything. But then you don't think about the people in the background, you know. Yeah, you got painters. Grips. You got painters, you got grips, you have carpenters, you have everything. You got prop masters, all these people.
Stunts, mm-hmm. hair and makeup, wardrobe.
And then look at
assistants.
Script advisors.
Yeah.
Even we have somebody in the chat who probably has firsthand knowledge with Lucy Stage Tech. I mean, lighting. I mean, all of it just gone. Because
sound, lighting, mm-hmm. everything, man. I mean, there's a lot of jobs. I mean, every industry, it sucks. Music, wrestling. I mean, a lot of wrestlers, this is their full-time gig, and now they literally are going to be out for months with no work. And it's
same
and
with
sucks.
People in the restaurant business, everything. Everybody's been hit really hard. So, 120,000. I really hope that we do the right thing by all these people and you know, we passed some good legislation here. Or no, I guess it wouldn't be it would be the emergency bill in order to get people paid with while we're off work, I hope.
Yeah, and you know, also, I mean, we're talking about just these 120,000 entertainment. I mean, we're thinking about just movies, but also think TV shows. A lot of our TV shows that we're watching right now, especially, are like, we should be wrapping up their seasons here within the next month or so, and they're not. And so a lot of shows and stuff that we watch, you know, with spring TV, a lot of them aren't going to have conclusions to the season, yeah, and or may have to pick up later in the year because they're going to be behind. And that also doesn't just go just for them actually filming. Think of all the post work, things that go on in editing rooms and editing bays and studios and visual effects artists and video game industry and all that stuff too. Mm-hmm. Like, in very few places is it just like a person in an office. A lot of times it's people in a large work environment where, you know, yeah, you may be separated by a cubicle wall, but the fact is, like, you're still sitting less than 6 feet away from someone next to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. It's a really sad deal. We our hearts go out to everybody who's affected with that, with their jobs. I hope that everybody stays, you know, positive. Keep your head up, and hopefully things change for the better for you, and get some unemployment and or some government assistance when it comes. I really hope so.
Yeah.
With that, there's a lot of stuff happening in Hollywood where movies are starting to come out digitally at the same time that they're supposed to be either released in the theater, or they are moving up their release schedule for digital and physical. Like Sonic the Hedgehog is going to be released on what? It was supposed to be the 31st when it was coming out. It's going to be
24th, 27th, something like that.
Yeah. So
March 31st. Yeah.
It's coming. They're moving it up to March 31st. The plan was all the way in May for the digital and physical releases. Mm-hmm. So they're moving it to March 31st, which is good news for everybody because that was a really good movie. So you'll be able to check it out sooner than later. Another one was Onward. You know, that just came out 2 weeks ago in the movie theater, and it's already on digital. So you can rent it for $19.99 right now for 48 hours. It's available on, sorry, what Amazon. Did I say? Amazon, Xbox, yeah, PlayStation Store,
Redbox. They have a Redbox app that you can rent it from too.
Yeah. Fandango.
I was gonna say Amazon has a. They just launched on Friday when a lot of these movies came out. It was Amazon Prime Cinema is what it's called now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's these movies and stuff that would be in the theater that you can now. And it's not just, you know, it's also like The Invisible Man and a handful of other films that are out should be out.
Mm-hmm. Actually, as of, well, if the listeners are listening to this on Tuesday, then the Warner Brothers today is releasing The Way Back, Just Mercy, and Birds of Prey. So that's amazing. I wanted to see Birds of Prey, so now
see it.
Yeah,
so good.
I know. Yeah, I've been wanting to. It's just obviously I got lost in the mix, and then all of this. So it's going to be nice to be able to enjoy it on our own. Paying $19.99, I'll be dead honest with you, even after all of this is over, paying $19.99 to get a 48-hour rental movie on like a new release, I'd do it. I mean, I would do it in the fact of I don't have to go to the theater and I'm going to spend more than that on concessions alone. So I'd have no problem paying that.
I would normally agree. Okay, so some movies, yes. But I like the movies that I probably wouldn't go to the theater for. But there is something to be said about going to the movie theater because it's the experience of actually going.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I was thinking about that too. Yeah. It's like, there are some movies, absolutely, especially if you think, I mean, I know we're supposed to be social distancing and stuff, but yeah, if you have a family, but also if you have some friends who you know are not sick or whatever, you know, you could still get like a handful of friends over and have a movie night, and you could still sit feet apart from each other and you can all watch it together at home while this is going on. But yeah, there are some movies where it's like, yeah, but you got to see that in theater.
I mean, yeah, like a Star Wars or an Avengers, like a AAA, like big IMAX type movie. I would definitely agree with that. But, I mean, it's still nice to be able to have that option to be able to stay home and watch it, too.
It is, but it kind of moves things into a scary territory where I hope that we wouldn't see the decline of theaters.
I think we're going to. This is going to be, I think this is going to be, like, yeah. I think we'll see, like, a resurgence as people, I mean, yeah, because you'll have the people that are like, oh, I'm too lazy. But I think it'll, in a way, balance itself out, too. Because like then they're gonna have to start counting those weekend, like what people are paying, and you're paying $20. And you will have some people who are like, man, I don't want to go to a theater by myself to see this. Yeah, fuck it. I'll just pay $20 to watch it at home by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, that's $20 that were, it would have been 12 instead, you know, so they just made $8 off that one person, you know, watching it at home.
Yeah.
So I think in a way it'll level out, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we also see kind of like an immediate downfall followed by like a gradual uptick as people are kind of like, this would be so much better in a theater. Like, yeah, there's just something about seeing an Avengers movie or a Marvel movie in the theater versus seeing it at home.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I agree with that. Drive it. I think that they also try maybe doing a, you know, it's a shorter to digital life cycle. So it does release in theaters, but maybe it only goes for 4 weeks, captures its main audience, and then it's automatically on digital for $19.99 to rent.
Which is, I feel like, how it should be anyways. Like, yeah, this whole waiting 6 months before a movie comes out is such horse shit.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to make money, yeah, you do your big box office. And again, you'll get those people who are like, eh, I don't, just, meh. Meh. I don't need to see it in theaters. Like, and so they won't see the box office, but yeah, maybe they'll pay $20 later. Which, again, they're paying more.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically.
Yeah, it's a premium price. So.
But yeah, again, you get six people and that $20 is... You know, that's,
yeah, you're losing out on all those people, but maybe they didn't go anyways, so you still make,
maybe, exactly, bucks. Maybe they weren't going to see it anyways, so yeah.
Or, and the chance of catching like a potential person that was just flicking, like looking for something to watch and just happens to see that there.
Yeah,
a walk-in, if you will, or like an impulse buy.
Either way, they'll figure it out. They'll make a ton of money,
but like I said, I think we'll see a shift in how everyone in the world consumes media following this.
Yeah, it's definitely going. They're definitely going to get a new type of data with how many people are renting right now these movies that just came out in theater.
I hate to say it. That's one of the things I'm most excited about seeing when this is all said and done is all the data that comes out from like all these various. Yeah, like how productive were people working at home versus people working in an office? Like, what if you could chart the difference between the two? Like, what's it going to be? Because there have been countries that have moved to like things like 4-day work weeks, mm-hmm. and working remote, where those employees have become more productive because they feel more comfortable and they're more rested when they work at home or they only have a shorter work week. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they are more productive in the time that they're there. And I'm so curious to see what that changes. I mean, I can tell you right now, working from home for 2 days now, I've answered more calls and emails and stuff than if I had been at work. Like, hands down, I've been busier. I've been more productive because there is kind of like, I feel guilty being home. So I feel like I have to work harder sort of mentality, but like I get to do it in sweatpants instead of putting a button down on, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like instead of getting dressed up for work. So I'm more comfortable in my own home. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I'm so curious.
You made a great point with the guilt free. Cause like when I would work from home before this, like I felt kind of guilty, you know, cause you're right. It feels like you're getting away with now that we're doing it like mandatory. It's funny because it kind of took away the mystique of it, I guess. So now it's just like, ah, oh, fuck it, I'm working from home, you know. But it, yeah, I haven't seen a decline in work myself as far as workload goes, because shit still needs to get done. So I mean, I think that initial week of people getting their stuff sorted and trying to figure it out, maybe that drove back some people. But for the most part, I mean, it's business as usual for our work. So
same, especially with IT. I mean, like,
yeah.
Again, I'm at a university and classes are still happening, so they still need us working. So, well, we're not essential that we have to be on campus because no one's on fucking campus. Like, you know, we still have to work and we have to work from home. But I'm so curious. I want to see those numbers here in a few months to a year. Like when all that stuff starts to come out, like, wow, productivity jumped, you know, 90%.
Mm-hmm. Or some shit. Yeah.
Be interesting. We also have the new Wonder Woman 1984 thinking about skipping theaters and going directly to rent at home. Warner Brothers is discussing it. Depends on how long this lasts and how long before theaters are reopen. But it is a discussion right now. So, which is really crazy because that is a huge movie.
It is, you know, it's not scheduled to hit theaters until June.
Mm-hmm.
So I think right now they haven't announced anything yet because I think they're kind of like hoping that maybe some of this, you know, starts to, you know, the curve starts to flatten out and that maybe they'll still be able to hold the release. Because again, I feel like this is a movie that probably will need to be seen in theaters, and I don't know if it'll capture audiences at home.
Yeah, this is one of the weird ones. This is one of those exceptions, like Jared was saying earlier.
No. So we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. Things could change. We could be on lockdown until like July. So,
well, I mean, you know, or we're back to work tomorrow, next week. If somebody,
well, according to Trump, you know.
all right. So we've got some Star Wars news, and that the, I don't know why they didn't keep this a secret. I would have loved for this to be like a holy shit moment.
I 100% agree. 100% agree. We'll talk about it. Go ahead.
But it looks like The Mandalorian Season 2 has cast Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah. Yeah, this should have been, this should have been a surprise.
Yeah.
Like,
for
like,
sure.
Because they kind of kept it under wraps that Ahsoka was returning to Rebels.
Mm-hmm. That was a big surprise.
That was a big surprise, especially, so, I mean, even they did, they had a scene where, in one of the seasons, where she fights Vader, and she realizes that it's Anakin.
Oh my God, that was, oh my God, in Rebels?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah, with the, and then the fate, half, oh, spoilers.
Spoilers, sorry. I mean, if you haven't watched it yet, now's a very good time while you're home doing nothing for a couple weeks. Disney Plus is there. But then, so they're in like a Jedi, or not, a Sith temple, and the temple starts to collapse, and you see her walk away, but people, you know, they never confirmed if it was her, if it was Vader, or who it was, or whatever, because it's all like crumbling and stuff, and she didn't appear for like two more seasons, and so, I remember we're at Celebration for the final season, and Dave Filoni had a shirt on that said, Ahsoka lives? Question mark. And then they showed us an episode of the show, and when he was back on stage, it said Ahsoka lives! Exclamation point. Even though we didn't see her in any of the clips and stuff, it was like a ah! And then she showed up, and then she showed back up that season.
Mm-hmm.
But the show ends with her and spoilers again, sorry, her and Sabine going off to find Ezra. I have to assume that she's gonna be with Sabine.
Right. It's a great casting, by the way.
Yeah, she's been like a fan choice for a while, and she has said several times herself that she wants to play that role. So it's not a surprise. This feels like one of those shows where like the creators like actually listen to not only the fans but also the people who are interested. Mm-hmm. So it's like, man, remember when Rosario Dawson said she wanted to play Ahsoka? Can we give her a call real quick?
Yeah. Hey, you still interested? Because obviously she's of age. Like that's how, you know, because she would be a little bit older at this point.
Yeah, I mean, she's probably in her late 20s or so. No, later than 20s.
Yeah.
Let's see. She's probably about, 14 or 15 by the end of Clone Wars. Add another, let's just say 20 years to get to 23 years on top of that. Mm-hmm. Let's just say 23 years because... The last we see of her is in Return of the Jedi, and this takes place 8 years later. So let's say, almost 30 years later. So she's 40 in her... something.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rosario Dawson is 40.
Yeah, she's just like, I think she just turned 40 or 41.
She's 40. She'll turn 41 in May.
Yeah, perfect casting.
Her first movie was Kids, Larry Clark. Like she
played
isn't
like that crazy?
Yeah, and to see where she's come from, and it's amazing because I don't think anyone's come out. Well, maybe Chloe Sevigny is probably like as far as people who've been like really successful after movies like that.
Do you ever look at people like her and you go, because you grow up watching them and you always have that idea like, oh my God, they're older than me, like they're more mature and stuff because you've watched them on film, and then you mm-hmm. do look up their age and you're like, well, holy shit, only 2 years older than me.
Yeah, we could have been going to high school together.
And then you go, oh, she's done so much more than me.
Okay, so she's 17 by the time that Clone Wars ends. Let's see, Rebels takes place 15 years later. So she's about 32, and that's 4 years before A New Hope, which is then Return of the Jedi is in 3 years later. So she's 39. And then add 8 years or so on top of that for The Mandalorian. I think it's 8 years. Is it 8 years? Did we get a confirmation? I think it's 8 years.
I believe I want to say it's 8 years.
So then she's 47. She'll be 47.
So then how old is
But then also, she's a Togruta? Who the fuck knows how they age? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, right? What I said. I've been saying this whole conversation. Fucking Togrutas or whatever, right?
Dude, shut up, Kev. So how old is Sabine then?
Probably about the same age.
Yeah, probably around the same.
Sabine's probably about 18 or so. Hold on.
I'm just doing this for the fans because they love
okay.
it.
Yeah.
Let's say Sabine's 18.
Mm-hmm.
Because that feels about right. She might be a little older. We'll say 18, but we'll give or take 2 years. 18 plus 4 to get to that, plus 3 to get to that, plus 8 to get to that. She'd be 33.
It says she was 16.
God damn it. Okay. Well, then to subtract 2 is 31.
According to Star Wars Rebels Wikipedia.
By the final season?
Maybe hold on. Ezra was 15.
Yeah, so that's when he started.
Yeah, so when he started. So Sabine, 16 when she started. So what? 1920 when the show was at its
Yeah, because they do a
finale.
They do a jump at one point. Because mm-hmm. Ezra goes from like
Yeah.
He clearly grows up in between seasons.
Yeah.
Sabine age, Rebels season 4. That's not helpful.
55. It says, why does it say 55?
55.
I guess she would be 55 right now. Yeah. Because it's
by Sabine. The time, probably of the time of A New Hope, maybe by not A New Hope, sorry, by Force Awakens,
mm-hmm.
and or I guess they could also be counting because that's like 37 years later. So, yeah, okay, that about checks out. Sure, damn,
yeah. All right, I'm glad that we figured that out for everybody.
Yeah, hey, sorry guys, we just went down some really nerdy shit like that.
Thanks for putting that together, Kev.
Yeah, glad to help. June Lovebad said Doug's Star Wars knowledge is just beautiful.
Netflix has set up a $100 million relief fund for production workers. I know that that this would have been helpful if I would have put this up near the first story where I said that 120,000 workers were out of work. But yeah. It's good shit. They'll be donating $1 million each to the SAG disaster fund and the motion and picture television fund and actors fund emergency assistance. So that's really dope. Great job, Netflix. They'll be donating a lot of money towards helping a lot of people get some funds that are very much needed.
I mean, with all of their original content, I'm sure. I mean, they're just as affected, you know. So.
If you tell me the age one more time, I'm going to end the show.
Mandalorian takes place 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
Give us updated ages.
I haven't done that yet. They just subtract 3 from everything I said. So Sabine would be 28 and Ahsoka would be 45, 44. And Ezra would be, who knows? He might be dead. I don't know. No one knows. So
we'll find out.
We'll find out.
Okay, so let's get into some gaming news real quick, where Razer is doing something amazing, and they're making surgical masks to help with the supply shortages. And Kev, enter your joke that you told in text.
I'm telling you, it's going to have so many LEDs. There's going to be dubstep speakers on it, so you just hear like, wah, blah, 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 like when you put it on. It's going to be so dope. And that way you're going to be sick while being sick. It's going to be fucking rad.
And Razer is only going to be charging $200 per mask. It's going to be amazing. Yeah.
But there will be Bluetooth capabilities. There will be.
Oh yeah!
It can sync with all of your other Razer devices, so it'll match the colors.
I'm sorry. I just thought about. The sync software, you have to update it in the mask. And then it syncs with the goddamn lights in your office. I'm sorry. I just got the whole visual and it just made it's just funny. So GameStop went ahead and temporarily closed its stores after instructing the staff to ignore the coronavirus lockdown. So GameStop, we talked about
GameStop.
We talked about that last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
How they just said, nah, we good.
If we didn't, here, let's talk about it real fast.
So there's been a lockdown in most major cities, and GameStop wrote up an internal email letting employees know to tell law enforcement officials no. No,
yeah, we're essential.
And that they're essential because we're bringing gaming to people who need it in a lockdown situation. So, yeah, they got burned on social media big time.
Which, like, there's a part of me that's like, okay, because I was thinking about that today. Like, we were telling some people needed, like, cables for printers and shit. And I was like, where the fuck do we tell them to go to get this stuff? Because, like, obviously Radio Shack's not open. I think we still have one location near us. But, like, Best Buy's probably closed. And I was like, yeah, this is, like, the perfect time for a business like that, though. Because, like, people need movies and video games and stuff. And then that led me down a rabbit hole of, like, well, is Lowe's open?
Home Depot still is.
Yeah, like, because if I'm home and there's something electrical that needs to be fixed or whatever, or plumbing or whatever... Mm-hmm. Yard work, damn, like I still got to go places to get that stuff.
So they said that I read the whole, like, what is essential, and mm-hmm. home improvement is essential just in case you need parts for exactly that reason.
Repair and stuff.
Because so,
Katie tonight was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do during the day. I was like, I'm going stir crazy because it's been rainy here the past few days. Mm-hmm. So the kids haven't gone outside. She's like, I feel bad taking them out there, but I don't have anything to do. You know, so I get bored, and I was like, well, I mean, you're talking about wanting to do, like, the those wood chips or whatever around the garden area.
I mean, I guess you could just say do your gardening.
Yeah, so she, because she's been talking about wanting to do it, especially during the spring and stuff, and she was like, can we even get that stuff? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know.
The answer is yes. Yeah. So they are obviously limiting people that go in and everything. But GameStop finally came to their senses and said, all right, we'll close everything down. And they've launched curbside service. So you can go and pick up your games curbside. They'll hand them to you. The problem with that is they've announced that if you've pre-ordered a game and say you've paid off 50% of it and you go in to pick it up, you can't pick it up because they have no way of processing it to pay off the other 50%. It makes no sense to me. I know
that doesn't make sense, because why wouldn't they be able to access, just like the person hands them a credit card and they can even wear gloves for that transaction, like a drive through.
I have
they go
no
and
idea.
Run the credit card.
Yeah, man, if Chick-fil-A can fucking do this shit, if Chick-fil-A can send a worker outside with a goddamn iPad with a swipe on it, so can you.
Maybe GameStop doesn't have that.
Hey, well then how essential are you?
Well, that's actually a really good point with the fucking the swiper in hand.
I'm guessing that you can't hand them your card because of the fact that if you have to put a pin in and all of that. So I'm guessing maybe it's curbside, so you pay for it online, you pick it up, or it's already paid for some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, how can I not hand? Why can't I hand them $50? Here's 50.
Doug, let me get you.
Their upper management is so fucking head up their ass that they didn't plan for this. And so this is their first rollout of it. And now they're going to see a lot of, they're going to see a lot of flaws in this. So,
well, GameStop, we loved you at some point 20 years ago, but I think it's time for you to roll over and go away. I was going to say die, but that might offend people. Roll over and go away.
So, Doug, it's, I also
if you can't adapt,
mm-hmm.
bye.
I just found this for you, Doug. 817-424-2000. That is GameStop's corporate office number. You can ask them all those questions that you have.
Get them on the line.
Say that again.
Just go back and re-listen. I already closed.
I don't have time for that.
I already closed out.
It's fine. No, I'll call
them
later.
No, I do think that you're right, though. This is the reason why they didn't want to close down is because they know that this could cause them to go into bankruptcy.
So. I think it will. I think this is going to be the final nail in the coffin, yeah. Especially for, you know, because a lot of their stuff too is like, hey, I need this pop and this shirt and this keychain and this collectible. Also, yeah, this used game. You know what I mean? Like, so much of their stuff isn't necessarily the games anymore. And if I can't go in and browse and pick up, then there goes your money.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when I can get that shit on Amazon.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like also Amazon has kind of they've halted delivery on stuff that's non-essentials. Like, I mean, you'll still get stuff, but you know, like a lot of the next day shipping for things is not next day shipping anymore. It's you'll get it in 4 or 5 days because mm-hmm. right now we're only shipping essentials because we have to get this shit out, like food and water and household product.
Hey, I just ordered a micro SD card. Still gonna be here on Wednesday. Woo-hoo!
Dope.
So that's nice. I thought that it was going to be a 4 to 5 day wait too, because I was like, there's no way that yeah. this comes. So I was, well, it's probably because it's already mm-hmm. in the warehouse, which is in the area.
That's fair. Maybe if it's local, you'll still get it.
Yeah,
yeah. Because I ordered last night one of those stupid plastic things to go underneath my chair because mm-hmm. I'm rolling over the rug that I have in my office, yeah. and the wheels keep getting stuck, and it's driving me goddamn crazy.
Over time, that'll break the wheels off, too. I had a chair that did that.
Yeah, so I'm going to get one of those little plasticky things, those like mats or whatever.
Mats.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Yeah, and they have it, and it's available for Prime shipping, but I can't get it until Saturday.
Never mind. I'm canceling this right now. I did not see the date. Holy shit. It says Wednesday for sure, but it says April 22nd.
Well.
So a month.
Never mind.
Yeah, again, it's they're essential stuff is, you know, is what their focus is, which, and I will say rightfully so, Amazon, thank you for not like clogging up your, yeah, because you know there's people at home that are just like, okay, so I need
I need binoculars, I need
a flame retardant suit,
yeah,
and I need 15 pounds of crackers. And they'll probably get the 15 pounds of crackers tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So
let's be real. Yeah, that's essential.
It is. All right. So Doom Eternal just came out.
Yes.
And they did a boo-boo. They did a big boo-boo. They accidentally shipped the game without DRM. So therefore, it made the game very hackable for pirates. And but people are still buying it. They're still doing good. They had like over 100,000 people co-current on Steam the other day, so on launch day. So that's pretty awesome.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Jerry, you played a little bit of it, right?
I played half of the first level. I stopped though because I need to finish Red Dead.
Yeah, good call. Priorities.
Yeah.
Doom is so good, and it's so fast and old school.
Mm-hmm. The Game Developers Conference is going to move to August 4th. I like the headline, which seems optimistic.
Yeah. Well, we just got news that I think Fan Expo Dallas has moved to like June, which to me still seems optimistic, especially for the state of Texas and how slow we are to react to everything. Thank you, Greg Abbott. And then Texas Framework Weekend's been pushed to September, which seems a little more likely, but still seems a little optimistic. It's like it's probably not going to happen, guys. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Even September, I mean, I could be completely wrong, and I hope I'm wrong. But just those sort of scenarios where, like, even if, you know, everyone's healed and not, you might still have someone out there who's infectious who could still go to a convention and infect potentially hundreds of people that could then go home and spread it to hundreds more people who haven't had contact with it yet because we've been living in our homes for 3 months. So it just seems like a, are we sure, man? I don't know, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. What else we got here before we leave? We've got four, five, seven more stories. No big deal. The PlayStation 5 has released its details to, you know, the specs of what it's going to be. And the biggest news is that it's going to have a custom speedy SSD, which is great. And then it's going to have a 10.2 teraflop GPU. Now, Kevin, You may look at this and go, well, that's not as good as the Xbox. The Xbox says it's going to have 12 teraflop GPU. Well, that's true. But honestly, reports have come out that says it's probably like a 7 to 8% performance difference that you'll never even notice, because the PS5 actually has a higher clock speed and the SSD is supposed to be a lot better than the Xbox's, with virtually no load times because of the tech that's going into it. So there you go. Overall, both the PS5 and the Xbox are going to be pretty even, neck and neck. And it's just going to come down to price. What, Kev?
Yeah. I said, which we assumed.
Yeah.
And it was funny seeing the person who was presenting that, everyone thought it was Dana Carvey. Dana Carvey was trending on Twitter during the conference.
Yeah. What a boring ass reveal that was. It was really interesting for the tech behind it. I can get behind that and I can nerd out. But the way that he talked, oh my
He's
God.
He's so soft spoken. Yeah.
It's just, I couldn't take it anymore. He lost
He's
me.
Very technical. So like, people like Ryan, Ryan loves them because he gets so technical. And the thing is, I guess he doesn't simplify it really. I mean, he kind of does.
I don't mind that part. Like, that's fine. It's just the way that he talks.
The delivery
of everything. Yeah, he's talking very much down to you like he's so much better. At least it comes off that way. His cadence and everything put you to fucking sleep.
Yeah, it did for me. I had to turn it off. Like, I was working and had that in the background and I couldn't do it. It was just too drowsy.
And then Steam continues to break all of its records. It's thrown them on the ground. But
it said fuck this LP.
They have broken 22 million users, and I guess like 2 days ago it was 20 million. And more people are using Steam because, well, why not? Everyone's home. So
yeah, seriously.
Microsoft has started internal testing for its Project X Cloud on the PC, which is kind of cool. We'll get to use that soon, I guess. And, you know, let's see if it's better than Stadia.
Signs point to yes.
Yeah, I'm just like, I think we already know that it's going to be.
It's going to be miles better. And speaking of Stadia, you can now get the Stadia for $30 off because it's got its first discount. So if you'd like the Stadia for $100, okay, first of all, why would you? All right.
Fair.
Stop. If you're thinking about getting this, stop. Don't do it. This is a PSA. Don't do it. It's a piece of junk. It's a piece of garbage. And they aren't supporting it. They aren't updating it. No one's making games for it. Just stop. Take that $100, go put it towards a game and or building a computer, or go buy an Xbox One X. Because right now, you can get the most powerful Xbox for $199.
So yep.
Go do that.
Lying.
All right. Well, that's our show. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I hope everybody. I hope that we brought a smile to everyone's face,
a tear to your face, and definitely what I thought you were going to say.
Until next week, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Lots of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.